Welcome to Raw, where we hear true, unfiltered stories from real women in the actuarial profession. For the next half hour, you get to hear stories, advice, and all the latest tea from some of the industry's best and brightest. Wondering how the highest paid women asked for raises, how they became the first woman in their company C-suite, how allies can help them on their journeys. Get it all directly from the women who've lived it. This is Raw.
Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Lizzie Eason, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Ari Bly. She was a practicing actuary for 25 years in the health industry and is currently retired from direct actuarial work. She retired about 5 years ago to start her own company, and now she is with me on the board of NAWA. So welcome, Ari.
Thank you very much. Excited to be here.
Excited to have you. So we'll start off this interview with the same question we ask everybody. How did being a woman influence your career as an actuary?
That's a good question. I don't know that I ever thought about it when I was going into it because I was just following my skill set.
Totally.
And I was not raised. I had a brother growing up and we were not raised any differently. Him being a boy and me being a girl. When we got our driver's licenses, we were both taught how to change a tire, how to check the oil, how to do all the maintenance before we could go get that license. So I didn't think anything of it. And honestly, I think I lucked out in the fact that I got to a large insurance company to start out with. So there were probably half women and half men coming into the profession in each hiring class. You know, I wasn't at any point like the only woman in the room. And, you know, I made my way from that company to another insurance company, which was big enough to have that same feel. I was in consulting after that. And even when I was on a small team, small office, there was a good mix of both. So I really never, when I was working on those teams, I even ended up in a woman-owned actuarial consulting firm. So there were a few instances when I look back where I definitely felt that I was getting treated differently as a woman. And that was more in some consulting situations, especially working overseas in Latin America. I would not be the one that would get the questions directed to me, even though I spoke the language better than my counterpart. So, you know, I had to figure out how to deal with those. But in general, I think I lucked out that I didn't feel that pressure directly on myself. Now, what I've learned since then and what I've, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I started my own company and that company is in coaching and working with teams to help develop those skills to take your career to the next level. And it's surprising me how often I hear some of those challenges now, which is why I also got to join the board of NAWA to kind of help address some of those directly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I think the one biggest challenge that I look, if I had to name one thing that, that kind of influenced maybe my career, and part of this may be tangentially related to being a woman and kind of being that nurturer and just kind of the tendencies to be more passive is I never really often was directly navigating my own career.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's encouraged of women is to be more passive, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I had gotten into the career kind of passively because I was good at math and I, university that I went to was a very small college, 2000 students. They didn't have an actuarial program. So I just lucked out again there that there was someone there, an emeritus professor who was willing to help me study for some exams so I could get one or two out of the way, but there was no coursework that I was taking. I was a math major and an accounting major. I was not an actuarial science major. So I definitely got into the career not really feeling like I was well set up for it. But as many actuaries find out, we're kind of lucky that once you get through the exams, you are seen as having some level of credibility.
Yeah, totally.
And that I think helps us as women in that there is kind of a defining path that gets you to a certain level. And from there, I just kind of let the winds guide me, right? I took option or opportunities that came along that looked interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't seeking them out. I actually moved from Connecticut to Colorado to follow my husband, who's also an actuary.
Oh, funny.
And, you know, so again, that wasn't driven by me, but I was able to kind of, you know, find a good role that used my skills. Mm-hmm. And the only times when I was really driving my career, it was in response to some of the more maternal and family situation changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got out of consulting from the first consulting company that I was in because I was still doing a lot of traveling and I had two young kids at home. And I was making periodic, you know, not quite monthly, but maybe every other month, trips down to Latin America. I was leaving my kids at home with, you know, some semblance of my husband who was working full time and a nanny. And it was just very draining. So I decided, okay, I need to try and change something specific about my career to fit in with my personal needs at home.
Yeah.
Balancing work and home.
Yeah.
And I was able to do that. And I found another good role, you know, that did that. But it wasn't driven, again, by my internal desire to create a specific kind of career. It was really in response to some of the challenges at home. And again, if I look back at what one of the drivers that caused me to retire from being an actuary was at that time in my life, now I had three kids. They were older, so they didn't need me as much, but we also had three grandparents mm-hmm. living near us that were all requiring more of us, and all of that tended to fall on me rather than the husband, right? So
yeah,
that's just the roles that we tended to be in, right? So it made more sense for me to step back from my career. I was ready probably for a change at that time anyway. And I had realized I had already started doing more on the HR side, doing more with developing other actuaries. So it kind of made sense for me to step away from the technical work and start building my own thing, as well as freeing myself up for flexibility to take care of grandparents, to take care of kids. But again, it was all driven by kind of the family circumstances.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, it sounds like motherhood really empowered you to want to take more control over where your career was going and what you were doing.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, when I talk to my kids now, so I've got a 20-year-old who's halfway through college, and I've got a daughter who just, so I've got three daughters. Mm-hmm. My middle daughter just graduated from high school. She's heading off to college. And then I have one who's just heading into high school. Mm-hmm. And on multiple occasions, I wasn't expecting this to be part of the outcome, but they have said, you know, look, I saw the change that you made, and thank you for showing me that I can make different decisions, that I can, you know, stop one thing and start another and try something new that's completely outside of, you know, the expectation. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that I realize now how much, you know, my kids are watching me, how much other actuaries, you know, at different points in our career are watching as you move forward and seeing, okay, what's working for them, what's not.
Yeah.
What permission does that give me to navigate my own career differently?
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting because I related to a lot of the beginning of your story about sort of falling into this career passively because I was the same way. I also majored in math and went to a small college that didn't have an actuarial science program. I didn't even know what that was. And how I fell into the career is I did a job shadow with a woman who was an actuary. And I was like, oh, well, that seems like a good life. Like, she makes a lot of money and doesn't work very hard. So I'll do that.
Right. Right. Right.
And it worked for sure. But I think it's a very common narrative I hear, especially amongst women, that, like, you know, we just kind of fell into this and it works.
Yeah.
And it is very cool. You took the reins and were like, I, you know, at different phases of life, you need more things than you did. And I think also part of it is being young, right? Young and child free is, I don't have a lot of responsibilities right now. So I'm kind of okay just falling into wherever I fall into, you know, and having a job that gives me a comfortable lifestyle pretty easily.
Right. Right. But I've definitely run into people. So, you know, like I said, in my current job, you know, I'm always talking with people either through the coaching or through other interactions, there have been women I've come across who've, you know, been very intentional about their changes because they haven't been in a situation that would support them in their current family situation, or they wouldn't, you know.
Right.
So, you know, the times where I asked for, and that's something I had to learn in my career, is I need to ask for what I need. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably could have stayed in my first consulting role and just said, hey, this traveling isn't working. What else can we create? How can we make it work? Mm-hmm. Instead, I took the, oh, this isn't working, I need to find something else.
Yeah.
Path. Right.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, I did learn, hey, I have to ask for what I want. If I, at this stage in my life, can't be traveling, I need to make sure that that's clear, that my team knows why, mm-hmm. and that, you know, I can contribute in different ways and figure out how it works for me now.
Yeah. And I think the asking for what you want is so important too, because I know a lot of women too, who, like, when they stepped into that motherhood role, just decided, oh, this is too much to work and be a mother, so I'm just going to be a mother. And, like, utmost respect to homemakers, absolutely. Like, my mom was one and she's a queen and I respect the hell out of her. But I think it's important too, to have visible narratives where instead of being like, oh, I can't do both of these things, so I will give one up. It's, I can't do both of these things. How can I change my career to work with my personal life now as it has shifted?
Right. Absolutely. And it's, and what, and it doesn't always take a big change, right? It's sometimes it's just saying, hey, can I have more flexibility after 3 p.m.
Right.
So that I can do some of these pickups.
Yeah. And I think remote work, I was reading an article the other day, I can't remember where I read it to, but I'll link it to this episode if I find it. But it was about how COVID and normalizing remote work was actually really empowering for women.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women who became mothers did end up quitting their careers because going into an office was just not feasible for them. And now with the added flexibility of being able to work from home, a lot more working mothers are able to maintain their careers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And funny enough, you know, I find that men are more able to feel involved in their families.
Yeah.
Just because they're present more.
Yeah. And I think too, yeah, as time progresses, we are, you know, expecting more of fathers than I think previous generations did, which is definitely a positive change, I would say.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's funny because going back, so one of my best friends that I made, we both interned together. So back in the 90s, we started our careers together. Like I said, I married an actuary. So we both were kind of on our own paths. She was an actuary. Her husband at the time was in law school and ended up getting, you know, his passing the bar and becoming a lawyer. Mm-hmm. When they had kids, they made the decision that she would keep her career and he would become the stay-at-home dad, which was wonderful to have that example of,
yes.
Oh, how, you know, you can make this work. Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, he had a couple different, different activities here or there. They ran a CrossFit gym at one point. They did, you know, he did some woodworking. He had another side hustle that he did for a little while, but she was the primary breadwinner for the rest of her career. And it was really amazing to kind of see that. And again, I probably just lucked into being in that, social group that showed me that.
Yeah.
But it's another lesson that, you know, you can do this intentionally. You can make those decisions and you don't have to follow the path that you see other people following.
Right. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing, right? Because when a lot of people just kind of live their lives very passively, the roles I think women are kind of cajoled into by society are like, oh yeah, just stay at home and be the wife and mother. And again, utmost respect for homemakers. It is a hard job, so much respect if that's what you choose. But I think it's also really important now to see people being like, I know that that's like the path we're being cajoled into, but I kind of want to go this way and be a badass career queen. And that's also cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's fun to see the variety of paths that people are carving out for themselves, mm-hmm. right? being able to, like you mentioned earlier, having that flexibility to work from home may allow people to step into different roles or work for different companies that may have different cultures that allow them to do that. Whereas, you know, maybe they were limited in their options of who they could work for when they were working in the office because they're in a certain city or they're in a certain area of the country. And it's like, well, here are my two choices.
Yep.
If I'm in, you know, small town in the Midwest, or, yeah, you know, if you're in Hartford, Connecticut, great, you have a lot more choices.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's deciding, you know, what you want to do and then figuring out, okay, how do you make that happen for yourself?
Yeah, I definitely like the point about the geographic freedom we have now as well. Cause I remember when I first started my career, I was living in Des Moines, Iowa, cause that was close to my family. And yeah, I had like, it was Nationwide or EMC. Like that was who you worked for. Right. There might've been one or two others. Des Moines was a big insurance city, but yeah, you worked for whoever was in Des Moines. And then when COVID hit and everybody went remote, it's like, I can work for any insurance company now and don't have to move necessarily.
Right. Right. And it's definitely opened the doors to a lot more opportunities for women, mm-hmm, I think. And men.
Absolutely. Well, Ari, we are coming up on time. This has been an excellent interview. My last question, which is the same question we close with everyone, is what's one raw piece of advice for women actuaries that you want to share to close out the show?
Yeah, I think it goes back to steering your own ship. So even though we are in a career that you can coast and find yourself in a good spot,
for sure,
there's a lot of value to knowing and spending time understanding, you know, what are your strengths? What are your values? What kind of legacy do you want to be leaving? And how do you want to be spending your time at different stages of your career? And then making intentional choices to ask for that, to drive that, and to create that. Because even though I enjoyed all of my career, I probably could have like had a immensely more fulfilling career had I taken those steps for myself earlier.
Yeah, I love that. That's great advice. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, you can join NAWA to get all our latest podcasts and resources for empowering women actuaries at nawaactuaries.org. That's nawaactuaries.org. Our music is Divertimento in G by Haydn, performed by Lindley Baker, and our logo was designed by Haley Osterkorn, both women actuaries. If you're a woman actuary or ally who wants to get involved with our show, you can email us directly at ally@nawaactuaries.org. That's ally@nawaactuaries.org.